autumn is a time of quieting down, supposed to be anyway, and starting to go within. And I do a women's retreat usually in October every year, and that's the focus. One of the things we always do in our journaling work is seek to know what it is that the soul is asking us to finish at this time of year, and also to receive the gifts of the soul at this time of year. What have we done? You know, pat yourself on the back and look at the good things that you've accomplished, the things that you had thought about maybe early in the year. How many of them did you get through? And how much was asked of you that you were able to give or accomplish this year? And then when winter comes, winter is a really interesting time because in the animal world and in nature, things are hibernating. You know, things are stilling down, at least in this hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, things don't quite react the same. But in your dream life, this is the time of year when you get the clearest and most powerful dreams. I think that a lot has to do with the fact that we're not outside so much anymore. We're not, hiking and camping and swimming and water skiing and going to theme parks with the kids or seeing the family and taking trips and all that stuff. Most of us are a little more present at home during the winter months. So that, this coming, when is winter? December, I guess. December, January, February. You should look and expect to have some better recall of dreams. You can just be aware of that a little bit more. The other interesting thing about winter that I've noticed is that visionary dreams very often occur at that time of the year. It could be visions of your own upcoming life, or family and friends, or a lot of people, especially right now at the end of the century, are having world visionary types of dreams, where you'll begin to see things that are happening for the nations. The whole business of discord in the world, people might be beginning to dream about what's happening weather-wise, and if there is discord in the form of war, where that will occur next. I know one time years ago when I was doing, we used to do voice channeling, which I don't do any longer other than kind of this kind of work. It's a process that I had to pass through, apparently. And I was told that I would do it for a short time, so I'd sit in trance and let my personality step aside, and then my teachers would come in and give a teaching. And one particular year, I don't remember the year that the Berlin Wall came down, but it was the early winter of that particular year when that all happened, or very late fall. The information that came through was that we should all open our hearts because a great, very great thing was going to occur, and it was that the Berlin Wall was going to be dissolved. And when I did voice channeling, I kind of was aware of what was going on, but not really. And I can clearly remember thinking, my mind coming in and thinking, oh, that's going to happen. I sure can believe that one. You know, I don't think so. And then only a few months later, that very event occurred. I was absolutely stunned. So that's the kind of information that people like Gordon Michael Scallion, do any of you know of his work? He's an American man who had an amazing awakening, an engineer, very clear and focused mind. He was giving a talk, a presentation of some kind for a group, and in the middle of his presentation, he could no longer make any sound. His voice entirely disappeared. And he thought he was having a stroke, and so did everyone else in the room. They raced him to the hospital. The doctors assured him there was nothing happening in that department. And as he was recovering alone in his hospital bed at night, a mist formed in his room, and a beautiful woman appeared and began to show him images and shapes, and she told him that he was going to do a visionary work for the world, but particularly for his nation, and that he needed to let go of his fear, and when he had done enough work, his throat, this is the seat of communication, of course. It's also a very creative center. It also holds a lot of power because what you speak becomes real in this reality. So when he could give up his fear, his throat center would open up again. That's his story in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it. But anyway, he thought he imagined that, you know, and he was hallucinating, called a nurse in and said, that young woman that was just in here and described this person, and, you know, she hadn't seen anybody. So over a period of time, this person reappeared to him and told Gordon that what he was going to be doing was getting visionary information about the tectonic plates of the Earth, the great storms that would cross over the planet in the last years of the century. But particularly, his focus was going to be earthquake energy, because there were enough people awakened on the planet now wanting to work with the Earth that she wanted to give warning, and he was the chosen one. Can you imagine? It's just a phenomenal awakening. This man was an engineer, you know. I mean, I'm married to an engineer. I can't imagine my husband's response. I just can't imagine. It's absolutely mind-bending to have such a linear mind and have something come in that asks you to be so right brain.
But it makes so much sense.
Yes, it does, because he has the facility to put it all together and to speak of it clearly and effectively. Exactly. And that's what he does now. That is his work, and he speaks all over the country. I don't know if he's published, but I know that he's in process if he hasn't. And his guides come to him in visions, and he will see them before him, and they will show him several images. And he has learned that one image is an event that's fairly probable. Another is, how does this go? There are usually three different ways it can happen. If enough people pray or open their hearts or do work with the planet, then this particular image could occur. But if not, it might be this one or it could be this one. I don't know, something like that. Anyway, all of this happened to him, you know, at a time in his life when it was least expected, but when we needed the information most. I think he was awakened about 5 years ago, 5 to 6, 7 years ago. And he's extremely accurate. He can tell you if there is a 5.0 magnitude in Japan between September and December, then we're going to have a 6.0 in this place between these dates. And he has something like a 90% accuracy rate. So it's quite amazing work that he's doing. Anyway, that's one example of the kinds of visionary work that is happening to a lot of people as we enter this next century. Some of you might know of Danion Brinkley. He's another one, the man who... I think he affectionately calls himself the dead guy. He was the one who had electricity in the form of lightning come through his body and thrown across the room. Oh, it's okay. Just doesn't want to leave mom, it sounds like. And he continues to have visions about the world and certain events, and his dreams are extremely active, and he's one who is just a troubadour for dream journaling. You know, he really emphasizes that and how we've got to awaken, and the more of us that awaken, the greater the good can come forward, the more quickly it'll happen. Okay, and then in spring, of course, you have new life, so you're heading in new directions, new lessons, or unfinished ones from the year previous will come forward in your dreams. Lots of creativity, lots of activity physically and mentally and all of that, and lots of dreams about rebirth. This is the time of year when people are going to have those dreams where babies show up. And I always hear people laughing, well, I can't get pregnant anymore, or I'm not having any more kids, or I don't know anybody who's having kids. That's not it at all. The appearance of a child in your dreams or a baby that you give birth to always has to do with rebirth of your own consciousness or a new project that's being asked of you to come up with and, you know, let come forward in your life. So, in spring, that's probably the hardest time to remember because there is so much activity. We get out there in our gardens, or we clean up the patio, or we do spring cleaning in the house, or we go shopping, and, you know, all those different things. There's a lot of activity, so you can expect that your memory might not be as strong in the spring as it is in winter, for example. And then finally, we have summer, and in the summer, dreams seem to be more along the mind and the thought processes. It has to do, again, it's a time of harvest, so what am I gathering into my life, into my my own personal sacred realm? And lots of dreams about how your own mind can deepen its process. Because we all have strong intellects. I haven't met anybody recently who doesn't. And the mind wants to know and understand, and summer is the time of year when it can begin to do that through your dreams. So that's just a little bit on... seasons and how they affect your dreams. And I want to talk a little bit about dream techniques. There are an abundance of techniques, and I'm just going to share with you the few that I found really work when I'm not having the recall that I want. And I've already mentioned keeping a dream journal. That's the most important. If you write it down, you're going to have a record that you can go back and review. Even if you only get snatches, you will start to see a pattern, and I can promise you this. It does happen. So write it down. Get a spiral notebook or something. Paul.
You just do it right. You wake up in the middle of the night, you got to turn on the lights.
Yes, You can do that. But I have never done that. What I do, and this is a simple technique to help yourself remember. Okay, you're awakened. You remember what happened. Pick some images from the dream and name the dream that. Red house dream, or people on the water, or airplanes over the ocean, or something. Pick a symbol from the dream. That will help you recall the whole thing in the morning. Now, the trick is, you know, we have several periods of REM sleep each night, rapid eye movement, when we dream. The trick is, if you remember several dreams, then you've got to remember several different symbols so you can recall that and then make the notes in the morning. And I happen to be a person who usually remembers four or five a night, so that's a technique I used early on to make myself remember. Now what happens is, I just kind of wake up and I go, wow, that was interesting, and I'll think about it and review it a bit, and then I fall asleep, and then I do a different one. And I don't always do it that way, but that seems to be my pattern of life. And the more you work with this, the easier the recall's going to be. It just gets to be part of your life. You have to want it to be part of your life and be committed. That's the biggest thing. So when you go to sleep at night, the biggest help is to focus your intent and put that in the present tense. Tonight, I remember a dream, or tonight I remember my dreams, you know, plural. And tomorrow morning I write them down. Not tonight I will remember, or I might remember, or I may remember. It has to be present tense. There's much more power in that. So you set your intent, and then you just take some deep breaths, and with that intent in mind, go to sleep. And when you're not remembering on a regular basis, I recommend trying this every single night for at least 30 days. You have to get the brain used to the fact that it's supposed to record this information, and you get its attention through this affirmation or by setting your intent when you go to sleep at night. And then you've got to do your part when you wake up. Have a notepad and make some notes. You know, or if you ride a bus to work, or if you are in a carpool, make some notes while you're in a carpool, you know, or make notes at lunch or something. The fact of the matter is, almost everybody forgets everything within 10 minutes of awakening. Because we live in this world, this is where the major part of our consciousness is focused. And until you can get one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, you have to write it down. You could also record them on a tape recorder, transcribe them later. Or what I've started doing is putting them on a computer disk. I might make some fast notes, so I have like a week's worth of notes. Then I'll go sit and stick them on a computer disk, maybe at the end of the week or something. It's a lot easier to read them later than to try to read my scribbling, you know, and that sort of thing. So I like the use of the computer for that part. I've got a note here to tell you. I use this technique with my husband, who has never been able to recall dreams because he has such an active work life. And over the last 2 years, he has started remembering fragments, or sometimes he'll say, Lil, I had a dream last night. And I actually remember, and he'll tell me at breakfast, you know. That is quite amazing. It really is. He never believed it would happen for him, and now it's happening. And the most beautiful thing, I had asked for this probably for over 30 years. We've been married for 31. And I've always longed for the experience where I would lift out of my body at night, and I would see Bert, my husband, lift out of his body, and we could be together, you know, and fly away or something and have these wonderful adventures. Well, last year, in the winter, I had a dream like that. I had an experience where I awakened out of my body, floating over our bed, and I was holding the hand of my husband as he lifted out of his body. And he was rather startled, kind of looked at me like, well, what's happening? What's going on? And he was starting to fall asleep, and I'd say, no, no, stay awake. We're out of the body. We're out of the body. Stay conscious. This is magical. This is sacred. This is holy. You know, we've done it. And he knew nothing about it in the morning, but it was the most thrilling. And he believed what I told him because he's had so much experience with me and my dream life. And a lot of the stuff that I dream does happen eventually. So he's had experience and knows that I'm not just putting him on. But that is the kind of experience. I've only had it once, that's true, but I've had it. And if I can do it, I know that everyone else, the potential exists, that you can have that kind of conscious awareness with the one you love, or anyone else, your angels and guides, your spiritual teachers in the dream world. Okay, another fun technique. You guys have probably all heard of this. It's called the glass of water technique. Just get a glass of water, put it on your bedside at night, and then, you sit on the bedside. Don't lie down because you might just kind of drift right off. Sit on the bedside and say to yourself, I remember my dreams tonight. And then you drink half the glass of water. Set the glass of water down. And then you go to bed.
And then you get up and go to the bathroom.
Well, you can make a short glass of water.
Well, yeah, that might. And maybe you didn't remember because you had to.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Maybe that's the purpose of this technique. Because really, that's one of the things that if you wake up to go to the bathroom at night, you're most likely to remember what you've just done, you know, what your experiences just were. Anyway, then when you wake up in the morning, you drink the rest. And even if you haven't any recall, you say to yourself as you're drinking the water, I now recall and remember my dreams throughout this day. And that's another process that you can do, you know, many nights or for 30 nights until you start to have recall. It's pretty simple and it really does work. It's an old technique. Gosh, I read about this being used when hypnosis was first introduced. It was a technique to get people to do whatever their thing was that they were supposed to do from their hypnosis work. It's a deepening technique is what it is, and a tool to get your conscious mind to remember, there's some work we want to do here. We're not just going to sleep tonight. And then the technique that I really love, it's called the Tibetan technique. And this technique is pretty simple. You lie down, and you concentrate on your intent that you're going to have a dream that you recall. And as you do that, you imagine your throat, at the back of your throat, you imagine a beautiful blue sphere at the very back, so it's inside the back of the throat. And I find that so interesting because blue is the color of the throat chakra. When I look at people's throats that are pretty open, what I see is this beautiful, clear, true blue. And that's the color of the sphere you want to imagine. And I heard about this technique long before I realized any research had been done as to what really stimulates dreams. And then eventually I found out that the brain stem comes down the back of the brain, back of the skull here, really ends right about, I guess, at the back of the throat or that general place. So I thought, wow, those Tibetans know what they're doing. You know, there's something going on here. It's not just some silly little technique. So you just imagine this blue sphere at the back of your throat and you say that you're going to remember your dreams and you hold that visualization as you fall asleep. You try to keep holding that image of the blue sphere at the back of your throat. And then in the morning, you awaken and have the blue sphere in your throat, and again, I now remember my dreams. So it's another technique, and that technique feels somehow really spiritual to me. Maybe it's because the Tibetan people or the Tibetan lamas invented it, I don't know. But I really like that one. It just feels a little more spiritual to me. All right, and then there's the third eye technique that has to do with water, but not drinking it. Just get a little saucer or a little, not a saucer, well, could be if you're not going to spill it. A little tiny bowl, put some water in it, and set it by your bedside again. And then you sit on the bed and you say your affirmation about recall of dreams. And then you dip your fingers in the water and you first touch your throat and state your affirmation. Tonight I remember my dreams. I remember my dreams strongly and clearly. And then you touch your third eye, which is the seat of insight right between, or the third eye chakra, right between your eyebrows, just above and right between the eyebrows. Behind the third eye, you have the pineal and the pituitary glands, and they are very active in stimulating the spiritual life and awakening us on a deeper level. So you do that, and then you go to bed and go to sleep. And in the morning, you do the same process again. You touch the water with the fingers, you touch your throat and your third eye while you say, I now recall the dreams that I had last night, or I now recall them throughout my day. You can say now and throughout your day. And that's another technique just to use as a tool to stimulate the recall. The other one that's, let's see, there's that, this one, and I'll talk about melatonin a little bit too. The other technique that's really simple is just to have a dream guide. And later on I'll take you through a process so we can all get a dream guide. But you can make one up. You know, you don't have to have me take you through the process. Or you can just ask, I'm requesting a special dream guide come in and be with me. Or your guardian angel, of course, is always with you in the dream state, so you can have your angel as your particular dream guide if you like. If you can go to sleep with a lovely image of your hand in the hand of your guides, and that guide lifts you out and takes you into the heaven worlds for your dream activity, I think it's such a beautiful, sweet image. What a nicer way to go to sleep is there than that? So I really like that one, too. And I'm going to mention melatonin. There are pros and cons about the use of it. I have used melatonin myself when I couldn't sleep comfortably, and I noticed that it really stimulated my dream awareness. They seem to be much more vivid, more present, brilliant colors. Do all of you dream in color, by the way, or do you know if you dream in color or black and white? I think science says now that we all dream in color, and those of us that aren't really aware of color or think we're dreaming in black and white, it's probably, again, an indication of overactivity in the outer life. And the more that you bring the inner life into balance with the outer, the more the color will start to come and be more present for you. But anyway, about melatonin, what I've discovered is that some people like me have their dreams really enhanced. Other people have horrific nightmares. So you have to find out who you are if you want to try that. And I find that as little as 1 milligram, being a sensitive, I guess I am just sensitive to drugs in general, but as little as 1 milligram does make a difference for me. It's not something I would use every night, but you might try it. It's harmless in the short term. It's a product that the body produces naturally and that we don't produce a lot of as we age, unfortunately. And I just think I wouldn't take it forever, you know, because then your body might never produce it again. I don't know. But I offer that as something that you can try to stimulate your dreams too. And then finally, about this recall thing, if you're a person who says, oh, I just, no matter what I do, I cannot remember, nothing is working, you are probably so involved in your daily life, so active mentally, that your mind cannot relax at night, that even as the physical body drops into sleep, your mental processor is still going full bore and may send you just a stream of junk that it just wipes out then when you awaken. Or it may be doing all kinds of things, but that's the biggest deterrent to dream recall, is to have the kind of intellect that will not shut down when you go to sleep at night. The other thing, of course, is if you use street drugs, if you do any barbiturates, or if you're taking sleeping pills or Valium at night or any kind of tranquilizing drugs, they interrupt the natural pattern of REM sleep, and so you either have real chaotic dreams or you feel like you haven't had any, or some people awaken feeling tired, more tired than they went to bed. Alcohol is another one that will do that to you if you drink heavily before going to sleep.
So are those dreams not real dreams? Say, no, it's like if I have to take a pain pill or something like that, I have really vivid, intense, kind of nightmarish dreams. So do you disregard those because that's not really you? Or?
It's still really you. It's just been torqued by whatever you took, the alcohol, the drug, or sleeping pill, or whatever. And so you have to kind of look at them and realize that they're not the normal ones, but they still might have a message for you. It's still possible. It'll just be a little weirder. A little more out there on the edge, Gail. Sure.
Do you know why we get nightmares?
I'm going to talk about nightmares in a little while when we talk about the kinds of dreams. Oh, sure. I meant to tell you all
there's
water.
Tea, coffee,
yeah.
Water.
Anybody wants something, please feel free to get up. You won't disturb me at all. I just have so much material.
My other question is, it seems like, at least for me, much more intense dreaming towards morning.
That's right.
Is that remembering that, or is that
the longest dream period usually is just before you awaken. I think they say that's between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And some people have like a whole hour. Then, yeah.
It's going forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got this whole drama.
I know.
Okay, good question.
3:30, you lose out. Is that
that's
it?
Your problem.
Well, that's what I wonder about, you know, because different people, you know, especially people when they get older, they don't need to sleep as much.
That's right.
So is it that their dreams are compacted, or?
They'll still probably get enough dream time, whatever is required by their body to restore itself and by your own soul to communicate with you does occur. This business of, and I think that's why I can go on so little sleep sometimes. My whole body and all the dimensions that I am have structured me such that I can go on 4 hours or 2 hours if I need it. And I still recall good dreams, still have dream experiences. So I think depending on whatever you need, that's what you get. And the business of we have to have 8 hours of sleep a night, for most of us that's just not the truth. But that's what the scientific belief is, and that is the belief that we've accepted into our consciousness. Yes.
Is sleepwalking a form of dream, or is it a form of the physical body?
Oh, that's a good question, and I'm not really sure about that. My sense is that sleepwalking is a combination of the two. There's some kind of a physical disturbance, I think, that happens, and then there's some kind of an out-picturing of the dream that the dreamer is having at that time. they're just actually working it out physically. But I don't know enough about sleepwalking to speak clearly about that. That's my sense about it. It is connected to dreaming, but I'm not sure how. Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. Anybody else know?
Maybe her life is way too active.
Now, I know one young woman who really, how old is she? Probably 24, 25. And she's doing this several times a week. And what I understand, I did a little reading, and what I could find from my reading was that there's something psychologically that you need to address, and you're not doing it or not listening to it in your daily life. So the body is getting your attention by doing this at night. She will often wake up and find herself doing tasks in her kitchen or reorganizing her closets in the bedroom. Things she has time to do in her daily life.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, I was doing that for a long time, for several weeks.
Oh my goodness.
It's funny, we have a grandfather clock, and my husband figured it out that every time it struck two, that was it. That was my time to get up and start.
Okay.
And I would find myself in the living room, you know, just completing daily tasks.
Yes. Yeah. Now, what I would say about that, too, is that many people are awakened at 2 o'clock, either by a clock. 2 is a real magic hour, between 2 and 3, maybe as late as 4. Okay, I'm so glad you brought this up.
That time.
This is the time, at least for me it is, when my own soul really can get my attention. It will awaken me and say, I want you to write about, I want you to read about, I want you to correspond with these two people that you haven't talked to in months or years. I want you to write a letter to your daughter about this subject. I can't tell you the number. And sometimes it will be cleaning up activities. You need to go and organize this because tomorrow this is happening and there won't be time for it then, and you'll want to feel on top of things. You have all the rest you need. Get up and do that. And I honor that and do it. I've learned to do that. And then sometimes it'll let me go back to sleep at 4 and I sleep till 6:30. Wake up, I'm on the way for the rest of the day. You can do these things. Remember, there are no limitations. Only we think there are limitations. Did you have a question, Jan?
Yeah, he has a question. I was just young.
Well, why are you able to, like, walk down the stairs and stuff when you sleepwalk? Or is it just because you do it so much or something?
The body has consciousness. Your body remembers everything that you do. And, of course, your soul is kind of watching out for you. Even though you're supposed to be sleeping, the soul is active and assisting you on some level, I think.
It's just a sleepwalk.
Did you?
One time.
Wow.
It only took so much care because walking down the stairs and into here, and then he started bouncing off the wall.
Well,
and then he turned around and went back up to his bed.
In your dreams, you can go through walls. There are no boundaries in walls, so you may have been trying to do that. That's one of the things that as a child I knew I could do. I knew I could walk through walls or walk through windows or fly, put my arms out and just fly up out of the roof. But, you know, it never worked when I tried it. But in my dream life, I could. So that may have been what that activity was about, too, partly. Oh, interesting. Good question. Okay, I want to give you a few techniques. Wow, I can't believe how late it is already. That you can use when you wake up to help you recall on awakening. The very first and most important one is get rid of your jangling alarm. That is the worst thing for dream recall. It's horrible. It's terrible to be awakened with such a jolt. And get a nice, pleasant alarm. Or teach yourself to awaken before the alarm and work with your dreams. Everybody's capable of that naturally. You just have to set your intent. You can do it. If not, get a nice alarm. Okay, now let's see. You know, like some nice classical music and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what we have at home right now. This is hysterical. Well, let me see. What are these guys' names? These British characters, they're Play-Doh, claymation characters. No, it's they're British. Oh, heck.
I know who you're thinking of.
Wallace and Gromit. Wallace and Gromit. Well, a friend of mine gave us this Wallace and Gromit alarm clock, and it's about this big. And when it goes off in the morning, this fabulous music plays. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You just want to wake up and feel happy when you hear this, and you know that on the clock, which is supposed to be like Big Ben, you know, it's this big face clock, the little dog, Gromit, is here, polishing the face. His arm is going like this, and Wallace, the man, is on the other side of the clock, and he's winding the clock on the back, and on the top is the little sheep, Sean, he's peeping out of the top of the clock. It's just, that's been the most fun.